Welcome to Voter Information, the show that looks at elections in the city, the state, and the nation. This is your election guru, Mark Braun here. Glad you could join us today. I remind you, you're listening to a recording provided for the use of those who are blind or print impaired. Materials or items read in Ayers, LA, are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Right? Right. All right. So we're going to be going, this is statewide stuff today, and we're going through the governor's race. There's been a few little shakeups. We'll get to those in just a few minutes. But here's one from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Monday, April 14, 2025. Becerra boasts of anti-Trump resume in bid for governor. As attorney general, he sued President's first administration 123 times and frequently won, by George Skelton, columnist, Capital Journal. Sacramento. President Trump's name won't be on the ballot when Californians elect a new governor next year, but it'll still be the favorite target of Democratic candidates. That will be especially true of Javier Becerra, 67, the latest entry in the race. The former Secretary of Health and Human Services in the Biden administration, and before that, California Attorney General, says he's particularly qualified to protect the state's interests against Trump's bullyism. I know no one who has taken on Donald Trump as often and successfully as I have, who was running for governor, Becerra told me. I've shown how to beat him. As Attorney General, Becerra sued the first Trump administration 123 times, often teamed with other Democratic state attorneys general, and won the vast majority of cases. The lawsuits ran the gamut. Trump's attempt to scuttle Obamacare, his anti-immigration policies, efforts to cripple California's environmental protections, and weaken the state's fight against climate change. Now Trump is back at it even more pugnaciously. Americans are being punished, Becerra says. This is not a time to sit on the sidelines. That sitting on the sidelines comment could be read as a subtle swipe at former Vice President Kamala Harris, who is taking several months to decide whether she intends to run for governor. She intends to make up her mind by the end of the summer. But Harris, 60, is sounding like she plans to eventually hit the campaign trail. I'll see you out there. I'm not going anywhere, Harris recently told a conference of black female business leaders and politicians in Orange County. She didn't mention running for anything, but vowed to remain active in the fight to protect constitutional rights. If Harris does re-enter the political arena, she's more likely to run for governor than attempt another presidential bid in 2028. After a loss to Trump last year, most Democratic voters nationally will probably be looking for a different standard bearer. But she'd be the early favorite in a gubernatorial race because of her broad name recognition and past election successes in California, having won races for the U.S. Senate, Attorney General, and San Francisco District Attorney. Other candidates in the large field of wannabes would probably bail out regardless of what they're saying about hanging in there no matter what. Such talk is easy until you run out of campaign money and large donations dry up because political investors believe you're a probable loser. It doesn't matter who gets in, Becerra says. I'm in. They'll drop like flies if Kamala gets in, predicts Democratic consultant Steve Maviglio, who's not involved in the contest. She'll be the overwhelming favorite, and money flows the favorite. Money follows the favorite. But Maviglio added, Kamala is not a shoo-in. She's going to have a tough race. A lot of Democrats are disappointed in how the election turned out against Trump. They have a hangover from that. But Democratic strategist Bob Schrum, director of the Center for the Political Future at USC, says if she runs, she's very likely to win. Becerra fits into the collection of people with very distinguished and interesting records, but the state doesn't know them, Schrum added. With them, it's a contest of who can raise sufficient money to get known. One exception to the low name recognition, Schrum adds, is former Orange County Congresswoman Katie Porter, 51, now a UC Irvine Law School teacher. One reason that she ran statewide for a Senate last year. Former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, 72, also has some statewide name recognition, but is presumably declining because he hasn't held elected office for 12 years. Lieutenant Governor Eleni Konalakis, 59, is one gubernatorial candidate with barrels of her own family money generated by real estate developments. But she's expected to shift to a bid for treasurer if Harris runs. Also in the Democratic mix of relatively little-known candidates are former state legislative Leader Tony Atkins, 62, former State Controller Betty Yee, and State Schools Chief Tony Thurman, 56. Republican Riverside County Sheriff Brad Bianco, 57, is also running, but a GOP candidate need not apply for governor in California. It's virtually impossible to reach. Becerra is universally considered a nice guy, soft-spoken, and not a grandstander. But he doesn't shy away from partisan combat. A six-term congressman representing central Los Angeles, he held several leadership positions under former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of San Francisco, including chairman of the House Democratic Caucus. He also headed the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Democratic consultant Bill Carrick said that every Democratic candidate for governor or Senate in any state will be focused on Trump next year. It's hard to put together any campaign that's not a continuation of the Trump soap opera. Becerra is embarked on a hybrid approach, banging on Trump while addressing California's multitude of acute problems as voters should demand. California's at a crossroads, Becerra declared in his candidacy announcement. From housing to healthcare, childcare to college, working families are facing an affordability crisis. The California dream is slipping away. I'm running for governor to fight for that dream, to build a stronger, affordable California for everyone, and to take on bullies who get in our way. Ask Becerra for specifics, and he frequently replies with a favorite word, scrub. Scrub? It means he thoroughly examined several things, the bullet train, the proposed Delta water tunnel, the housing shortage, environmental regulations, tax reform, and determine what's worth doing and what's not. Once you've decided what you're going to do, don't let anything get in your way, he says. That includes Trump. That was Becerra boasts of anti-Trump resume in bid for governor by George Skelton, columnist, Capital Journal. From the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Monday, April 14, 2025. Obviously written before Kamala Harris officially made her decision, and that decision is nay. She is not running for governor. Here are a couple of articles with regards to that. This is from the Los Angeles Times, Friday, August 1st, 2025. Without the ex-VP, governor race is wide open, by James Rainey. When former Vice President Kamala Harris declared Wednesday that she wouldn't run for governor, she cleared the way for what many Californians wanted, a wide-open race to succeed Governor Gavin Newsom. 10 significant candidates already have declared their intention to run in next June's primary, in hopes of securing one of the two spots in a November runoff election. At least two or three other well-known politicians may soon join the fray. One of the few public polls on the contest had showed only Harris in double digits, at 24%, with the rest of the field straining to get the public's attention. The next closest among declared candidates was former U.S. Rep. Katie Porter at 6%. Real estate developer Rick Caruso, who has not declared whether he will run, received support from 9% of those surveyed. Caruso is also believed to be eyeing another election next year for mayor of Los Angeles. He finished more than 9 percentage points behind Karen Bass in the 2022 mayoral race. A veteran political consultant who does not have a candidate in the governor's contest called it Katie's race to lose right now. The strategist, who asked to remain anonymous to speak candidly, predicted there would be a battle to see whether a GOP candidate could consolidate the Republican vote to win the second spot in the runoff. But the Republicans vying for the spot have much less name recognition than former baseball great Steve Garvey, who nabbed second in the 2024 U.S. Senate primary before being soundly defeated in that runoff. One is Chad Bianco, the Riverside County Sheriff and supporter of President Trump, was fought to reverse California's path toward progressive criminal justice reform. The other is Steve Hilton, a commentator on Fox News and former senior advisor to David Cameron, the conservative former British Prime Minister. Two Democratic politicians with a long history in Los Angeles and Sacramento politics are also in the race. Former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and Javier Becerra, a former State Attorney General and U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services. Becerra probably will tout his combativeness against Trump. As Attorney General, he sued the Trump administration roughly 120 times. As mayor, Villaraigosa pushed staffing of the police department to 10,000 officers. The increase was cited as one reason for a major drop in violent crime. Lieutenant Governor Eleni Konolakis has pointed to her work opposing college tuition hikes, combating climate change, and protecting women's rights. Tony Atkins, the former president pro tem of the California Senate, won praise from Times columnist George Skelton, who described her as a pragmatist who could be a productive governor. Skelton also gave a nod to former controller Betty Yee, saying she had a sharp accountant's eye. The race doesn't suffer for a lack of diversity when considering that businessman Stephen J. Klubeck, founder of the timeshare company Diamond Resorts International, and Tony Thurman, the state superintendent of public instruction, rounded out the field. Thurman is also the only prominent black candidate in the race. "It's a wide-open derby now," said John Shalman, a longtime consultant in Los Angeles and statewide elections. "Eleni's running as the establishment pick, Katie's running like an insurgent, Becerra's threatening the needle, and everyone else is hoping someone else drops out." If Republicans can consolidate behind one candidate with a pulse, then they can make up the top two. Welcome to Thunderdome. That was Without the XVP, The Governor Race is Wide Open by James Rainey from the Los Angeles Times, Friday, August 1st, 2025. All right, here's this follow-up from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Saturday, August 2nd, 2025. "Did Harris's candidate accentuate status quo?" by Anita Chabria, columnist. Kamala Harris does not want to be governor of California, which has a whole lot of contenders and some voters doing a happy dance this week. But with her announcement Wednesday that she is bowing out of a race she never officially entered, Harris has ignited a flurry of speculation that she's warming up for another run at the White House in 2028. Whether you like Harris or not, a possible run by the XX chromosome former vice president raises a perennial conundrum. Can a woman win the presidency? "This question is legitimate," Nadia E. Brown told me. She's a professor of government and director of the Women's and Gender Studies program at Georgetown University. She points out that post-election Democrats can't figure out who they are or what they stand for. In that disarray, it may seem easy and safe in 2028 to travel the well-worn route of a straight old white guy who fills the status quo. That may be especially true in the Trump era, when an increasingly vocal and empowered slice of America seems to believe that women do in fact belong in the kitchen making sandwiches far away from any decision beyond turkey or ham. Brown points out that even Democrats who flaunt their progressive values, including how much they'd love to vote for a female president, may harbor secret sexism that comes out of the privacy of the voting booth. Post-2024, Harris's defeat in deciphering what it means has caused a lot of mourning after anxiety and agita, she said. "We're all doing research. We're all in the field trying to figure this out." While confused Democrats diddle in private with their feelings, Republicans have made the race and gender the center of their platform, even if they cloak it under economic talk. The party's position on race has become painfully clear with its stance that all undocumented immigrants are criminals and deserving of horrific detention in places such as Alligator Alcatraz or even foreign prisons known for torture. The Republican position on women is slightly more cloaked, but no less retrograde. Whether it's the refusal to tell the public how Trump is included in the Jeffrey Epstein files, the swift and brutal erosion of reproductive rights, or claims such as the one by far-right podcaster Charlie Kirk that the only reason for women to attend college should be to get a Mrs. degree, Republicans have made little secret of the fact that equality is not part of their package. Although Trump's approval ratings have tanked over immigration, he did win just over half of the popular vote last fall. So that's a lot of Americans who either agree with him or at least aren't bothered by these pre-civil rights ideas on race and gender. Add to that reality the eager pack of nice, safe, democratic white guys who are lining up for their own chance at the Oval Office, our California governor included, and it does beg the question for the left, is a woman worth the risk? I've definitely seen and heard consultants and, you know, even anxious women donors say, maybe this means we can't run a woman, and I think it's completely normal for certain elements of the party to be anxious about gender, said Minnie Chimaraju, president and chief executive of Reproductive Freedom for All, a grassroots advocacy group. She too thinks the gender question is logical, since it has been blamed, though not by her, as the reason we lost to Donald Trump twice in a row, right? Whereas Biden was able to beat him. While Chimaraju is clear that those losses can't and shouldn't be tied to gender alone, gender also can't be ignored when the margins are thin. Joseph Givarhisi, executive director of the progressive political organization group Our Revolution, says that gender and race are always a factor. But he believes the bigger question for any candidate in 2028 will be their platform. Harris, he said, lost not because she was a woman. She lost because she did not embrace an economic populist message. And I think the electorate is angry about their standard of living declining, and they're angry about the elites controlling D.C. and enriching themselves. Givarhisi told me he sees an opposite momentum building within the party and the electorate, a desire to not play it safe. Whoever it is, male, female, gay, straight, black, white, Asian, the candidates got to have a critique of this moment, and it can't be a normie Dem. Brown, the professor, adds, rightfully, that looking at the question of a female candidate's chances through the lens of just Harris is too narrow. There are lots of women likely to jump into the race. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York are just two names already in the mix. Brown adds that an outside contender such as a woman from a political dynasty, think Obama, or a celebrity could also make headway. The criticisms of Harris, with her baggage of losing the election and critiques of how she handled the campaign and the media, may not dog another female candidate, especially with voters. Whether Kamala runs again or not, I'm optimistic that the American people will vote for a female president, Vanessa Cardenas told me. She is the executive director of America's Voice, an advocacy group for immigrants' rights. Cardenas pointed out that Hillary Clinton received more than 65 million votes, winning the popular vote, and Harris topped 75 million. If just Latinos had gone for Harris instead of breaking in an ongoing rightward shift, she would have won. Cardenas thinks Latino votes could shift again in 2028. After the chaos, cruelty, and incompetence of the Trump presidency, Latino voters, like most Americans, will reward candidates who can speak most authentically and seem most ready to fight for an alternative vision of America, she said. I believe women and women of color can credibly and forcibly speak to the need for change rooted in the lived experiences of their communities. Chimaraju said that regardless of what Harris decides, Democrats will probably have one of the most robust primaries in recent times, which can only be good for the party and for voters. And rather than asking, can a woman win, the better question would be, do we really want a system that won't let them try? That was Did Harris's Candidacy Accentuate Status Quo? By Anita Chabria, columnist, from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Saturday, August 2nd, 2025. All right, and here's something from the Los Angeles Times, Sunday, August 3rd, 2025. All dark horses in governor's race? With Kamala Harris out, some analysts say that a contest will be a free-for-all for a while. By Kevin Rector, Seema Mehta, and Laura J. Nelson. For months, candidates in the race to become California's next governor had waited for a pivotal question to be settled. Will former Vice President Kamala Harris run or not? With Harris's announcement last week that she is out, a new question arose. Who's the front runner now? Because of Harris's star power, the answer is far from simple. For months, other candidates saw their campaign planning and fundraising undercut by the possibility she would run, meaning the race got a big reset seconds after Harris made her announcement Wednesday. Some political observers give the nod to former U.S. Rep. Katie Porter, who appears to have a small leg up over her opponents. Porter was the only Democrat to receive double-digit support in multiple polls when Harris was not included in the field. A prodigious fundraiser, while she was in Congress representing an Orange County district, Porter reported a strong infusion of cash in the months after launching her campaign in March and said she raised $250,000 in the 36 hours after Harris's announcement. The enthusiasm we're seeing from donors at every level shows that Californians know how critical this race is, Porter said in an email blast. Other candidates, including Javier Becerra, the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services in the Biden administration, and a former California Attorney General, have also tried to assert that with Harris out, they are moving up. The Becerra campaign building momentum in wide-open race, read the subject line of an email sent Friday by the Becerra campaign, saying he is well-positioned to unite a broad swath of voters around his plans to make healthcare and housing less expensive and more accessible. Outside observers, however, said that none of the candidates really stand out from the pack at the moment, that these remaining candidates are jockeying for bragging rights about who may be the front runner. It's to be expected, but it's ludicrous, said Gary South, a veteran Democratic strategist who has worked on a number of past gubernatorial campaigns, including former Governor Gray Davis. With Harris opting out, there will likely be no obvious frontrunner among the remainder of the current field for quite some time, South said. None of these candidates started out with statewide name recognition. With such a wide-open field, factors such as endorsements and communication strategies will be important to watch, experts said. So will the candidates' ability to raise money and use it to broaden their appeal. I would start spending money on social media, on television advertising, on every single platform I could find to build up my name ID, South said, but none of them have enough money to do that at the moment. With Harris out, will she back someone else? Obviously, if she did endorse, that would be a big plus for whichever candidate she rallied behind, said John Pitney, a professor of politics at Claremont McKenna College. Harris has long relationships with several of the candidates in the race. A source familiar with her thinking told the Times, after Harris bowed out, that she was still considering whether and how to approach the governor's race. Other endorsements could affect the race as well. Hours after Harris announced her decision, Representative Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of San Francisco, the influential former speaker, appeared on CNN to endorse Lieutenant Governor Eleni Konolakis, whom she has known for years. We have many great candidates, one in particular, Eleni Sakalopoulos, whom I support, Pelosi said, referring to Konolakis by her maiden name. Konolakis' father, the wealthy developer Angelo Sakopoulos, helped bankroll an independent expenditure committee supporting her daughter's 2018 campaign for lieutenant governor. Political observers are watching to see whether he dumps money into a similar effort backing her gubernatorial campaign. Pitney says Pelosi's opinion would carry a lot more weight if she were still speaker. He said it isn't necessarily going to sway a large chunk of the electorate, but could be important if it sways Bay Area donors. A former GOP legislative aide and National Party staffer who renounced his membership in the Republican Party the night Trump was elected in 2016, Pitney said that endorsements are far from a determining factor in today's political landscape. I hesitate to rule anybody out because very often candidates seem to come out of nowhere, like Mamdani in New York City, he said, referring to the sudden rise and stunning upset primary win of the 33-year-old Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani in the New York mayoral race. Pitney added that experience in government and administrative leadership also matters, but could also cut against candidates at a time when many voters are frustrated and want something new. For example, Antonio Villaraigosa, the former state assembly speaker and LA mayor who was in his 70s, obviously has a long history, but that long history is both an advantage and a disadvantage, Pitney said. Villaraigosa has said his campaign is about the future, but voters may not regard him as a fresh face, Pitney said. None of the current candidates for governor have the same profile as Harris. In fact, they are broadly unknown to huge swaths of the electorate. That means they have their work cut out for them, Pitney and South said, namely in terms of fundraising. South said that there is no question that the Democratic donor base has basically been sitting on their haunches waiting to see what Harris is going to do. But, he said, he hasn't seen any sign yet that donors have picked a favorite candidate now that she's out, either, which is a problem for candidates with little or no name recognition. None of these candidates in the remaining field, with Harris out, have enough money in the bank to run a statewide campaign for governor, he said. South said that could get changed if Konilakis gets another major infusion of cash from her father and once again taps into her personal well. At the same time, there could also be a huge blowback from that sort of splashy family spending, South said, especially if Konilakis' opponents pounce on it as distasteful. We have not tended in this state to elect moneyed people who try to buy the governor's race, he said. South said he is watching to see if big Bay Area donors decide to back Porter because of her profile as a progressive. Los Angeles developer and 2022 mayoral candidate Rick Caruso could be a force if he were to enter the race, Pitney said, because he has prominence in Southern California and also has a lot of money. The most recent fundraising reports, which were due Thursday night, shine a light on the candidate's coffers, but only through the end of June, well before Harris dropped out. The Democrats who do not have the potential to self-fund their campaigns reported having millions of dollars in cash on hand as of June 30, including some who transferred money from prior campaign committees to their gubernatorial accounts. Former legislative leader Tony Atkins reported having $4.3 million in the campaign, were raising $648,000 and spent $549,000 in the first 6 months of this year. Villaraigosa raised $1.1 million and spent $550,000 this year, but reported $3.3 million in cash on hand based on fundraising he did last year. Becerra has $2.1 million in the bank and raising $2.5 million and spending $449,000 in the first 6 months of the year. Porter reported raising $2.5 million and spending $449,000 since launching her campaign in March. She is said to have $2.1 million in the bank. Unlike other candidates, Porter's campaign revealed her fundraising because her filing on the state disclosure website didn't show any dollar figures. Spokesman Nathan Click said her number of small dollar donors crashed the state's system and that they have been working with state officials to get the documents displayed on the Secretary of State's website Friday. He said most of Porter's 34,000 donors contributed less than $200 each. Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco reported raising $1.6 million and spending $609,000 this year, leaving him with $1 million in the bank. A few candidates reported mediocre fundraising numbers but have personal wealth they can draw on. Konilakis raised just over $100,000 and spent nearly three times as much during the first half of this year. She has more than $4.6 million on hand and millions more in her lieutenant governor campaign account, although some of that money can't be transferred because of campaign finance rules. Businessman Stephen J. Klubeck, a Los Angeles Democrat, raised about $160,000 and spent $1.5 million, including more than $1 million on consultants. He has about $720,000 on hand at the end of the period. He also said he made a $10 million contribution Friday that he said turbocharged his campaign. One of my many advantages is that I'm not a politician and I'm not compromised, Klubeck said. Former Fox News host Steve Hilton, a Republican candidate, raised about $1.5 million, of which $200,000 was spent was a personal loan. Hilton spent about $1 million and has a little less than $800,000 in the bank. At the lowest end of the fundraising were former state controller Betty Yee, who raised about $238,000 and spent $255,000 with $637,000 on hand, and state school superintendent Tony Thurman, who raised about $70,000 and spent about $180,000 and had almost $560,000 on hand. Both Yee and Thurman told the Times last month that fundraising had slowed while Democratic donors waited on Harris to make the decision. That was All Dark Horses in Governor's Race by Kevin Rector, Seema Mehta, and Laura J. Nelson from the Los Angeles Times, Sunday, August 3rd, 2025. All right, here's this from the City and State section of the Los Angeles Times for Thursday, August 7th, 2025. A $1.4 million TV ad buy in Governor's Race by Seema Mehta. Wealthy first-time political candidate Stephen J. Klubeck is spending $1.4 million on television ads that started Tuesday. the first barrage of cable and broadcast messaging that Californians will likely be bombarded with in the next year's governor election. The ad features images and commentary about President Trump and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Trump is for them, Klubeck says in the 30-second ad, as a picture flashes on the screen of Trump flanked by Epstein and his accomplice Ghislaine Maxwell, who was convicted in 2021 of helping Epstein sexually abuse girls. Stephen Klubeck is for you. The candidate confirmed the size of the ad buy a day earlier. Public records of advertising purchases show that Klubeck bought space in every California market on cable as well as broadcast television time in Sacramento. He also bought time in New York City and Washington, D.C., as well as West Palm Beach, Florida, the location of President Trump's Mar-a-Lago. A campaign advisor confirmed that the ads would run through Monday and that he was also launching a social media effort. I will always fight for California. All Californians deserve the contract to be fulfilled for an affordable, living, workable state, Klubeck said in a text message. Watch the ad and you will see how a conservative Democrat fights for all Californians. The move comes after former Vice President Kamala Harris opted last week against running for governor, leaving a race without a clear front runner with a large field that is widely unknown to most California voters. The candidates need to raise their name recognition among California's 22.9 million registered voters, which makes Klubeck's early advertising understandable, according to Democratic strategists. It's unprecedented for regular business. Not for this race, said Democratic media buyer Sherry Sadler, who is not currently affiliated with a candidate in the contest. It's also not unprecedented for Klubeck, a Beverly Hills philanthropist and businessman. He announced his gubernatorial run in November with a full fusillade of ads and billboards the morning after the 2024 presidential election bearing the slogan, California, get a clue, and the California Bear, C-L-O-O. Although the 63-year-old's exact net worth is unclear, he made his fortune in real estate and hospitality. He founded Diamond Resorts International, a timeshare and vacation property company, which he sold in 2016. Earlier, he appeared on several episodes of the reality TV show Undercover Boss, which sends executives in disguise into low-level jobs at their businesses. Klubeck has not run for office before, but he has long been a prodigious Democratic donor and fundraiser. He also played a crucial role in renaming the airport in Las Vegas after the late Senator Harry Reid, whom he describes as a father figure. The bookshelves at his mansion are lined with pictures of himself with Democratic presidents and other prominent members of the party. Klubeck announced last week that he was contributing $10 million to his campaign on top of the $3 million he initially seeded it with. His wealth was on vivid display at the California Democratic Party's spring convention, where canvassers who said they were paid $25 per hour wore royal blue shirts emblazoned with his name chanted his name. He said at the time that his campaign had spent probably a couple $100,000 on the effort. That was a $1.4 million TV ad buy in governor's race by Seema Mehta from the City and State section of the Los Angeles Times, Thursday, August 7, 2025. Times staff writer Laura Jane Nelson contributed to this report. And here's one more here from the Los Angeles Times, Saturday, August 9, 2025. Many voters unsure about next governor redistricting, poll says. Ex-Representative Katie Porter and commentator Steve Hilton lead 26th gubernatorial race by Seema Mehta. Many voters are undecided in California's 2026 governor's race, as well as about Democratic efforts to redraw the state's congressional districts in an effort to counter GOP efforts in other states, according to a new poll released Friday. In the first public poll since former Vice President Kamala Harris opted to not run for governor, former Democratic Representative Katie Porter has had the support of 18% of registered voters in California, while Republican commentator Steve Hilton had the backing of 12%, according to the Emerson College poll. No other candidate in the sprawling field has double-digit support, and 38% of voters said they were undecided. The primary will take place June 2nd. The candidates have yet to start aggressively advertising or reaching out to voters, so these numbers could fluctuate wildly within the next 10 months. When asked about a special election that could occur in November, voters were split over a proposed Democratic effort to redraw congressional districts. One-third of voters support the effort, a quarter opposed it, and 42% were unsure, according to the poll. Redistricting typically occurs after the once-a-decade census, but California is considering a mid-decade redrawing of congressional boundaries to counter potential moves by Texas and other GOP states to boost the number of Republicans in the House and keep the GOP in control of Congress. California state lawmakers are expected to vote on calling a special election about the matter after they return from summer recess August 18. The poll of 1,000 California voters took place on August 4th and 5th and has a 3% margin of error in either direction. That was many voters unsure about next governor redistricting, poll says, by Seema Mehta from the Los Angeles Times, Saturday, August 9, 2025. All right, and we conclude now with the latest shakeup in the California governor's race. From Politico.com, this is called Eleni Konolakis drops out of California's governor's race, pivots to down-ballot campaign by Dustin Gardner for August 8, 2025. San Francisco. Lieutenant Governor Eleni Konolakis will drop out of the race for California governor, she announced Friday, exiting a crowded contest in which she was among the top Democratic contenders. She will instead run for state treasurer next year, a pivot that Politico first reported Konolakis began discussing with political allies as early as March, amid polling that showed her behind former Rep. Katie Porter and former Vice President Kamala Harris, who recently passed on the contest. In a statement Friday, Konolakis said she decided to switch races after careful consideration and reflection about what she could accomplish in the treasurer's role as the state's primary banker and investment manager. The decision was not made lightly, she said. At this moment, I believe I can make the greatest impact by focusing on California's financial future. Her exit from the governor's race is the second major development in the last week following Harris's much-anticipated decision that has shaken up the Democratic field to succeed Governor Gavin Newsom. Konolakis is close with Harris, and the two share close longtime advisors and a political network anchored in the San Francisco Bay Area. The contest has drawn a host of well-known Democrats, including Porter, former Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra, former State Senate Leader Tony Atkins, former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, billionaire Stephen Klubeck, former Controller Betty Yee, and Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurmond. Konolakis's move creates an opening for them to compete for the support of deep-pocketed San Francisco donors who had a lineup behind the lieutenant governor. She had already raised roughly $9 million in her state campaign, in her state campaign accounts, the majority of which her campaign said she can transfer to the treasurer's race, and was among the top handful of Democratic contenders in the polling, although she significantly lagged Porter. Her exit and the absence of her money in the race could also make the race more appealing to deep-pocketed politicians with their own money and spend, such as Rick Caruso, the Los Angeles billionaire and former mayoral candidate. And it opens the door for former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a longtime kingmaker in Democratic politics who had supported Konolakis, to consider endorsing another gubernatorial hopeful. Meanwhile, Konolakis still joins a still-evolving field of candidates vying for treasurer. Among those already running, State Senator Ana Caballero, former Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf, and Board of Equalization member Antonio Vasquez. Several other Democrats have campaign committees that could still enter the race. Konolakis, a former housing developer, said she's running to make sure the state efficiently leverages every dollar at our disposal to build affordable housing, as well as to oversee its investments in clean energy and infrastructure projects. That was Eleni Konolakis drops out of California's governor's race, pivots to down-ballot campaign, by Dustin Gardner from Politico.com for August 8, 2025. Folks, we are just about to come to the end of another edition of Voter Information, so keep it right here for everything that is happening in our ever-evolving and apparently ever-changing governor's race, as well as the possibility of a special election this November. Until next time, everybody, this is your election guru, Mark Braun. Happy voting and peace.